You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 11th September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from MoneyWeb headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Nissan and I are talking markets as we round out another results week and solid local gains. Neil Schroeder on the huge success of the Checkers 60/60 app, and Skulklo on holding companies and the frustrating discount to net asset value. This show is proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Sanlam raises 7.7 billion rand in payments. And from Business Day, First Rand takes cautious line on recovery outlook. Morning markets, US markets were red again. S&P 500 off 1.8% and the NASDAQ down 2%. Asia mixed, Sydney off 0.6% and Tokyo up 0.5%. Commodities red, Brent back below $40 a barrel and gold $1,947 an ounce. The Rand 16.86 against the US dollar, and top 40 opening call looking for a red opening, about 0.15% down.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Nissan Nair, he's portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities. Nissan, appreciate your time. I suppose we kick off with the First Rand results, which is the last of the big banks. We've still got a couple of the sort of a Capitex, the one outstanding. The numbers actually look not bad at all. Of course, we've got to remember they're for a full year. The other banks were half year numbers. But even so, I mean, they make quite a telling point that they're not paying a dividend because the authority asked, but frankly, they could have if they were able to.
Yeah, good morning, Simon. You know, I suppose if you compare the banks, Absa was down profit-wise, I'm talking about, about 94%. Capitec, you mentioned, gave up a trading update, and they're going to be down about 80%. You know, Standard Bank was down 60%, 50 or 60%. So First Rand's numbers at 40%, I suppose, in that context, you know, is not that bad. Although, you know, 40% drop in profit is going to give investors a concern. But if you go through the numbers, and I think you make the point, it's really about impairments. They raised 15 billion worth of impairments. And of course, you know, being a junior in company, the bulk of the impairments were in the last sort of quarter, you know, the COVID-19 period. It's no secret that consumers are under pressure. And, of course, bank earnings are going to be under pressure. You didn't see it in First Rand's results because interest margins are going to be squeezed. First Rand actually showed 4% growth in interest margin. But I think their caution is looking forward with much lower interest rates now. You're going to expect to see even further contraction in that interest margin across the board. So hopefully they've done as much impairment as they're going to need because, you know, in the next year with lower interest margins, revenue under pressure, you don't want to have to, you know, write down even more debt. And generally, First Rand, I think, is quite conservative when it comes to writing, impairments. So we'll just have to wait and see. But the banking space is very, very tough right now.
It is very tough. You know, they were all the banks seem to be, I mean, you know, very cautiously, slightly optimistic looking forward. In other words, not sort of doomsday. What is your take? I mean, are banks the space that you're investing in right now, or as per, you know, just it's going to be tough for another year, perhaps even two, if not impairments, as you say, squeeze on interest rate margins?
Yeah, I think, you know, Simon, you've got to be diversified. You've got to have some exposure. You've got to have no exposure. You don't know, how things are going to evolve. But should you be increasing your exposure right now, if you already have, I'm not sure it's the right time to do so. I think one needs to be very cautious. We need to see, we've got interest rate decision next week as well, you know, which if there's going to be a cut, it might even cause further pain for the net interest margin. But at the same time, It might help consumers to be able to pay their debt. It might have a positive impact on banks and payments. So it's difficult to go one way or the other specifically right now. What we do know is that bank share prices have taken an enormous hit. And I think for patient investors that are prepared to wait up long term, that have got a positive view on things that can happen in the country policy-wise, I don't think you're going to see much better levels than this. But at the same time, I think you're hoping for a lot to happen very quickly if you do invest in the banks.
Yeah, I take your point. And all of that, the key takeaway from that is it's a tough call. It is a tough call. But, you know, you could have some banks in your portfolio. Zeta, I'm not sure if this is a stock you watch much. I've always loved the idea of Zeta, agricultural play, you know, pure agri play. It's always been a bit of a disappointment. But they're talking around a potential change in strategy, retirement of the CEO. And the stock absolutely took off on the news. I suspect less about the CEO retirement, more about a possible change in strategy.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's left in there after they sold Pioneer. I think it's
Quantum,
the seed producer, the car factory. You know, it was always a nice business. It traded at a huge discount to net asset value. And I suppose if the strategy is going to be aligned to PSG's strategy, which is the ultimate shareholder of unlocking value for shareholders, I can't see why Cedar needs to exist as a listed entity. But Simon, I must say, I don't know enough about the business, and I would be cautious to comment on it.
No, that's a fair shot. I often scratch my head. I love the idea around it, but I'm never quite sure, as you say, why it actually does exist in that sense. We'll leave that there. It's Nissan Nair, Portfolio Manager, Sasfin Securities. Nissan, appreciate your time this morning. Have a great Friday.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Neil Schroeder. He's Chief of Strategy and Innovation for the ShopRite Group. And what we're talking is the Checkers 60/60 app. It didn't initially come to me. My area wasn't in the beta rollout. But I got to say, I've used it. I rate it as the best shopping app in South Africa. And frankly, in many ways, superior to, I suppose, the global gold standard, which is the Amazon Fresh offering in the US. Neil, appreciate your time. You launched last year to the general public, although in beta, very, very small. How long was that development process? And how did you, I mean, did you benchmark yourself against sort of global apps, even if they weren't perhaps direct competitors?
Great. Yeah, thanks, Simon. Most definitely. We benchmarked ourselves in some of the developed markets where what we believe the end game in e-commerce is, which is fast and fresh and close to consumers' homes. So most e-commerce offerings globally start with, you know, you book a slot, we'll tell you when the product's available, we get it from a supplier and you get it 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
We started at the end. We said, we're going to start with an ambition to be able to deliver in 60 minutes. So 1 hour, which is kind of as fast as it gets globally. And it actually gave rise to the name of the app. So a lot of people don't know the name 60/60 is because our ambition is the app is so easy to use. You can shop in 60 seconds and we deliver so quickly, it'll be delivered in as little as 60 minutes. And hence the name 60/60. It's kind of our ambition and our North Star for customers.
And certainly, I mean, there were, when we first, you know, as you rolled it larger and we came out of hard lockdown, there were some challenges with that second part of the 60-minute part. But my sense is now is that you're able to deliver on that promise. That, I mean, you know, I click on my app. It's nice. It's simple. And the goods are here, you know, well within my 60-minute limit.
Yeah, so when we were in beta, as you said, in only 8 stores at the end of February, lockdown got announced in March. So
yeah,
we had to get this thing stable and out of beta very quickly. But not only did we do that, we actually took it to, we're now in 86 locations, and we're going to be in 151 by the end of the year. So we actually accelerated the rollout because of the demand during COVID. So during the initial phase of April, we had free delivery still because of the app being in beta, and customers were unable or didn't want to leave their home for fear of the COVID virus and interaction at stores. So we had to change the delivery promise to same day, which is still pretty good. Some of our competition were delivering in 2 or 3 week time slots.
Yeah,
happy to say that You know, we're back to the 1 hour promise. And right now, as we stand, 80% of all our orders are delivered in under 60 minutes. And in fact, our record so far from order to someone's home is 11 minutes. So we sometimes get that right as well.
You just 86 at the moment, 151 stores by year end. If we look at that 151, that I would imagine is pretty much urban South Africa covered.
Correct. So the 151 locations are 86 grocery stores and 67 liquor stores. I think we're also the only app that can combine liquor and so drinks and groceries in one order. We don't split it. But that covers, we believe, almost 80% of the addressable online market, considering that each site that we pick from delivers to a 5 kilometer radius. So it's very heavily, densely populated suburban and urban centers. So we believe that's going to give us quite a nice foothold in the online space.
Your results presentation earlier in the week, your CEO was showed a chart illustrating the growth of the app. Hilton Tarrant from Moneyweb tweeted it, and certainly it you know, we get the lockdown. Obviously, it was, you know, we didn't want to leave our homes, we couldn't leave our homes, but usage continues. I mean, and it's not a month end shop. You cap it at 30 items. You can't put a full month end on the back of a motorbike. But is it changing shopper habits in a sense? So maybe sort of, you know, because of that convenience, I can almost shop every 2 or 3 days. You know, I don't have to go to the store. I can just do smaller, more frequent.
Yeah, it's a great observation. And that's exactly what the system was designed to do. So we set out saying this is going to be hyper convenient. We're going to take friction out of the shopping experience for customers. So we do the picking and the delivery for you. You've just got to select some items from a smartphone app. The intention was to be mission-based. So, hey, you know, I've got dinner tonight with my wife, or I've got a braai with the lads in an hour, or I need nappies urgently because I've run out. So it was really tailored around these what we call shopping missions, and it was meant to deliver unrivaled speed and unrivaled convenience. And, you know, you don't have to pay for the privilege. You know, a 35 rand delivery fee still makes it the cheapest delivery service in the country. But yes, it is. It's currently limited to 30 items and mainly to fit on the back of a scooter. But during COVID, we saw people using it as a main shop.
Yeah.
We do have plans to augment that and bring some bigger vehicles into the fleet as well.
Okay. And I confess, I've done that. You know, a few drinks around a braai, didn't have Coke. We literally ordered Coke. It was expensive, but, you know, because of the delivery fee. But hey, it was convenient and we couldn't go out. We'd been drinking. We didn't want to leave the braai. Is it, I imagine, fairly light in a sense of from a Checkers operation perspective? I mean, you're using existing stores. I've seen staff in the stores, the pickers, with their fancy handheld devices. Not a massive cost for you, but a massive new market. The scooter drivers, I imagine, are also independent.
Yeah, correct. From a capital investment perspective, this we did it in a way that gives us speed for consumers because we have stores. We got 3,000 stores. 80% of the population lives within 5 kilometers of one of our supermarket stores. So we have the proximity advantage already. We don't have to build, you know, if you follow Amazon and these kind of guys, they have to build very large fulfillment centers close to people's homes. We didn't have that cost. So the cost is really some labor cost for picking and the devices that we put in the stores for the pickers and then the motorcycles. So it's not a huge investment for the business, but it does. It opens up a whole new market for our business, particularly in this kind of forecourt, what's for dinner, you know, I'm looking for something immediately space, which is really, really positive for our business.
Yeah, that is it. It's the convenience of it. We'll leave it there. Neil Schroeder is a Chief of Strategy and Innovation for the Shoprite Group. Neil, congrats to you and your team on the 60/60 app and all the best for the future. When you protect your monthly income against the risk of injury, illness and death, you protect your future and the impact you make on those around you. FMI has been protecting South Africans' income for over 25 years, constantly innovating to provide greater claim certainty and cover for more occupations than ever before. Make your impact, protect your income first. FMI, life done better. FMI, a division of Bidvest Life, is a licensed life insurer and authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Skalk Lowe. He's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth. Skalk, morning. Appreciate your time. You put a tweet out earlier in the week, particularly referencing the REMGRO discount to net asset value. I'll quote it, 61% of REMGRO's, some of the parts are listed. And if we reevaluate the remaining unlisted companies at 30% below December valuations, REMGRO is trading at a 40% discount to its net asset value. The market obviously saw your tweet because REMGRO has moved up subsequent to that. But Skalk, I mean, these holding companies, there seems to almost be a bit of a jaundiced view towards them more recently. Certainly, discounts such as we're seeing with REMGRO are stretching and are head scratching.
It is unbelievable, Simon. I mean, it's to be in an environment where you're looking at these type of discounts. I mean, we were talking about REMGRO's discount of 44% at that stage, still trading at 42%. You know, we can look at some of these other holding companies, Raynet, that's trading at a, let's call it 36% discount. We know PSG's discount is wide as well. So it is an environment where holding companies clearly are sort of fell out of favor. I can't really pinpoint to the main reason for this, but I do think it do open up some opportunity for investors out there.
Yeah, that opportunity is actually a relatively simple one. I mean, in sense, that discount is too big. You make the point that, the 10-year average discount for REMGRO is, 15.9%. In other words, an opportunity here. Now, there's risk because, of course, those underlying assets can move. But in essence, it should narrow to, let's call it 15, 20%. That gives some nice upside potential.
Correct. I mean, even if the market doesn't do anything, I mean, that's the beauty of a wide discount. I mean, if you're worried about the market, then they always call it the moat, the margin of safety. Mm. Now, when I look at something like a REMGRO, I see a huge margin of safety, and it's a beautiful portfolio. I mean, let's not beat around the bush for any investor, and especially my two daughters and both students. They came to me earlier this year and said they want to start investing. They don't have a lot of capital. They want to start investing. And besides the obvious passive type of investments, this is a no-brainer for them. I mean, it's MediClinic. 20% of the company is MediClinic. RMI, they understand MediClinic. They've been in MediClinics. They've seen MediClinics. RMI, I mean, it's easy to understand. It's OUTsurance. It's Discovery. That's 17% of the company. Rainbow Chickens, Distel, FirstRand. They bank at FirstRand. I mean, that's 10% of the company. So by buying into REMGRO, as I mentioned in the tweet, 61% of the companies is listed anyway. It's 7 listed companies within one portfolio. Plus, my two favorite words in the world is free, and the second one is discount. Now, trading at such a wide discount. Bring it on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love your point. It, for someone, your daughters, even someone just starting out, someone, even a professional investor, this is an easy way to get some quality assets at a discount. And definitely. The best part is you've got a great management team running it for you and kind of, working on your behalf, which quickly brings me to the big one on our market, which is Prosus Naspers Tencent. The Prosus listing is now almost a year, in fact, just over a year ago. It hasn't worked. In some cases, like Prosus, isn't the easy thing just unbundle Tencent to shareholders?
Oh, this is a debate that's been going on for many years. I mean, this is a debate, Simon. We haven't been having since the listing of Prosus, way prior to the listing of Prosus here from Naspers. I totally agree. We've seen it with somebody like REMGRO. I mean, we've been chatting about REMGRO. Mm-hmm. They see these type of things and the discount becomes very wide, and then they start unbundling these shares. We've seen it with RMBH. We've seen it with Capitec recently, being unbundled out of PSG. Yeah. And I think that is the main thing. Shareholders are going to get sort of anxious and going to lose their patience with Naspers and Prosus and say, well, when are you going to start unbundling these type of 40, 50% discounts? When are you going to start unbundling Tencent? Because this is not working. I mean, trading at this type of discounts is just ludicrous. But anyway, like I mentioned, this is not a debate that we've been having for the past week or two. This has been something that's been going on for many years.
But that does make a great point. You get a REMGRO, you might end up getting some MediClinic or some FirstRand shares as and when maybe they unbundle. Skalk Lowe, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, appreciate your early morning time. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website and the MoneyWeb app. Podcast from 7 a.m. on the website, the app, and wherever good podcasts are aggregated. Chat to us on the social media, hashtag MoneyWebNow. This show was proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora, to you for listening, my guests for the early morning time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.